Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a gay and charming story of a girl, a boy, and a lion that played Cupid. Our star is that popular and talented Hollywood comedian, Lucille Ball. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They have the pride of craftsmen in their name, H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K, Hallmark. That's why Hallmark cards are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. So when you want to send the very finest, look on the back for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. To be doubly sure, always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Now to preside over our program this evening, here's our regular master of ceremonies, the young Broadway actor and producer, Richard Kalmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Greeks said that the rarest of all women was the woman with the gift of laughter. Tonight, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you one of those rare and lovely ladies, Hollywood's brightest comedian, Lucille Ball. You saw her in Without Love, Ziegfeld Follies, Easy to Wed, and many other pictures. And tonight, she adds another delightful characterization to her list of hits as she plays our faint-hearted little office girl, Mousy. Welcome, Lucille. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Dick. It's good to be here, but I'm not sure this story about Mousy is all for laughs.
What do you mean?
How would you like to work for a boss who scared you to death?
Don't tell me you were ever scared.
I sure was. The first job I ever had on Broadway, I was so scared I almost missed the orders.
Oh, you mean cues, honey. That's what we call them in show business, cues.
Who said anything about show business? My first job on Broadway was a soda girl in a corner drugstore.
Would you mind telling us how you got from a soda fountain to a stage door?
Well, it was only half a block from that drugstore to the first theater I played, but it took me 5 years to do it. Making sodas, modeling clothes, haunting casting offices.
And now out in Hollywood, they call you Queen of Comedy.
Oh, Dick, that makes me nervous.
Now, Mousy?
Sure, there's some Mousy in every one of us. That's why I like the story so much. I'd like to give Mousy a tip, though.
What's that, Lucille?
First, I'd send her one of those cute Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards to cheer her up, and on it I'd write something I read a while ago in the Reader's Digest.
What was that?
For Lord Mansfield's advice to timid people. He said, decide promptly and never give any reasons. Your decisions may be right, and your reasons are sure to be wrong. Or, as my pop used to say, get in there and pitch.
You certainly did. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards are happy to present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Lucille Ball, starring in The Lion and the Mousy.
Norton Chinwell and Edith Fan.
Oh, can I talk with Miss Laverne, please?
Who?
Miss Laverne. You know, the red-headed stenographer with the glasses. Crystal Laverne.
Crystal Laverne? Is that what her name is? Hey, Mousy, you want her on the phone. I'm Mousy. At least that's what the girls at the office call me. Mousy. A timid little rose that sits at a typewriter all day and pounds out legal words for Norton, Shinwell, and Egan's fans. I don't understand what I write. I just draw up $1,000 contracts, $1 million lawsuits, and $1 billion mergers, and all I get is $22.50.
Hey, Mousy, stop daydreaming and pick up the receiver. There's a call for you.
For me? On the phone?
That's the usual place for a call.
I know, but people aren't supposed to call me here. Not during office hours. See, Mr. Egan-Span said that
Mr. Egan-Span? For goodness sake, Mousy, do you run your whole life by what Mr. Egan-Span said?
Yeah, during office hours.
Well, he's not in his office. Here, answer the phone.
Oh, all right.
Hello, honey. This is me, kid, Eddie.
Oh, Eddie, you shouldn't have called me here.
Well, why not? It's my nickel. It don't cost them nothing.
I know, but Mr. Eganspan...
Mr. Eganspan can go jump in a lake. I want to talk to you.
Eddie, what's the matter?
Nothing. Except that I think you're pretty cute with your glasses off.
Oh, Eddie.
Look, how about taking them off for me tonight, huh? Over a bowl of chop suey. I'll meet you at Lynch House about 6 o'clock and we'll put on a feed pay.
Eddie, you know you're spending too much money on me.
Don't be silly, kid. I like spending it on you. Besides, I got something special to tell you tonight.
Oh, really? What is it?
Never mind. Just meet me at Lynch House at 6 o'clock. And for Pete's sake, don't be late again this time. I got to work tonight.
All right, Eddie. I'll be there.
You love me, honey?
You know I do.
Throw me a kiss.
Oh, Eddie, not here.
Okay, baby. I'll see you later.
Equally between the party of the first part and the party of the, Oh, rats, I knew that was going to happen.
What's the matter, Mousy?
Every time I'm in a hurry, this rickety old typewriter starts falling apart. I'll never make it now.
Make what?
My date. It's almost 6 o'clock and I still got 5 more pages of Dabney versus Weisskopf.
Well, gee, I'd help you, honey, but I got a heavy date myself.
Darned old typewriter makes more mistakes than I do.
Thought you had it fixed.
Fixed? Thomas Edison couldn't fix this thing. Look at it. If you hit the letter R, it sticks. If you hit the letter J, it jumps. And if you press the tabulator key... that's the jackpot.
How you can put up with that thing.
I can. It makes me late every night. Norton, Shinwell, and Eganspan closes at 6 o'clock, but I don't close till 7:30.
Well, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you tell Mr. Eganspan?
Oh, I don't know. He frightens me, Belle. He's got such a loud voice. And every time I see him, he talks about cutting down on expenses. Honest, I'm afraid to go near his office.
Oh, you're afraid of your own shadow. For heaven's sakes, now, so you gotta tell him you need a new machine.
Oh, I wish I could.
Well, why can't you? You got a mouth, haven't you?
Yeah. But as soon as I see Mr. Eganspan, I can't open it.
Oh, now, see, are you going to go through life getting the dirty end of the stick? Are you going to let people walk all over you?
Yeah. I mean, goodness knows I don't want to. I got feelings just the same as anybody else. Only I don't know what to do.
Well, I'll tell you what to do. Get your hat on.
What?
You got a date, haven't you? Well, get your hat on. You're leaving.
Without Dabney and Weisskopf? I can't go without finishing my work.
Your work is finished, Mousy. It's 6 o'clock, and that's quitting time.
But Mr. Eganspan will have a fit.
It won't be the first one. And if he wants you to finish your work on time, let him buy you a new typewriter. Go on now. Get ready. I'll ring for the elevator.
Well, if you think I can
get ready, I said. Make it snappy.
All right. I'll do it. I'll do it if it's the right thing.
Go on somewhere, Mercy.
Hello, Mr. Eganspan.
I hope you're finished with those copies. I'll need them first thing in the morning.
Well, I haven't finished them yet, but it'll only take me a little while.
Well, as long as they're done before you leave, that'll be time enough.
Yes, Mr. Eganspan.
Good night, Mercy.
Good night, Mr. Eganspan. Dabney versus Weisskopf. It took me a whole hour to do those 5 pages. And if I hadn't moved to another typewriter, I'd have been there yet. As it was, I didn't get to Lynch House till 7:10. And by that time, the place was so crowded, I couldn't even find Eddie.
You look for someone, miss?
Yeah, kind of a thin fellow with nice wavy hair, huh?
Your name, please?
Eddie Grove. I was meeting him here.
Oh, him. Young fellow, smokes cigarettes.
That's right. Where is he? Hmm?
Him gone. Leave here about 10 minutes ago.
You mean he didn't wait for me?
Him too mad. Him say women all alike.
But he had something special to tell me.
It could be you don't hear. Might burn your ears.
And he didn't leave any message?
No. No message. You sit down, miss. I have table for you.
No, thanks. I haven't got any appetite. Mousy. That was me, all right. Afraid of Mr. Eganspan. Afraid of losing my job.
Afraid of everything. No wonder Eddie was mad. No wonder he wouldn't wait for me. He probably wouldn't ever see me again. Unless I saw him. So that's why I walked around to the Empire Arena and slid in under the side door. I knew he'd be waking there. But I had to speak to him, so...
Joe. He's coming.
Eddie.
All right, tie her up there.
Eddie.
Hello, Bit. What are you doing here?
I was just watching you.
Well, you sure picked out a swell time. I gotta get this place done over by tomorrow noon. The circus is coming in.
Eddie, don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad. Just disgusted. Every time I make a date with you, it's the same old story.
Well, it wasn't my fault, Eddie. It's that darn old typewriter that made me late.
What typewriter? What are you talking about?
That old machine down at the office. If I had a new one, well, I wouldn't be a mouse.
Oh, look, kid, I haven't got time for riddles. I'm busy.
You don't understand, Eddie. It hangs over me like a phobia. Keeps reminding me of the trap I'm in. That stinky apartment I got and a lumpy divan I sleep on. Don't you see? It's ruining my whole life.
Well, if it's doing all that, why don't you get rid of it?
I'm going to get rid of it. Tomorrow. I'm going to turn over a new leaf and... start life all over again. Because if I don't, it just isn't worth living.
Hey, now what kind of talk is that?
No, well, what difference does it make? You don't care about me anymore.
Oh, sure, I don't. But what wasn't I going to ask you to marry me tonight? Didn't I pick out the ring and everything?
Eddie, you didn't.
Of course I did. That was just something special I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, I kept you waiting.
Yeah, that's what made me so mad.
Well, I won't keep you waiting anymore, honey.
Promise?
I promise.
Okay, baby. Look, I'll be through around 12 o'clock tomorrow. Want to pick me up and have lunch? Yeah.
More than anything else in the whole world. Now, you look here, Mr. Eganspan. This typewriter's interfering with my whole life. I won't put up with it any longer. And if you don't buy me a new one, I'll quit my job.
Atta girl, Mousy. Give it to him good.
Don't you think that's putting it on a little thick, Belle? I mean, there's no reason why I have to be nasty about it.
Don't be silly. You've got it just right. Now, when are you going to go in to see him?
Just as soon as Mr. Stevens comes out.
Look here, Stevens. I won't take that kind of talk from you or anybody else. Now get out of here and stay out until I send for you again.
That was Mr. Stevens.
Well, it's your turn, Mousy. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I think I'll just sit this one out. The terms of the agreement, thereof. Oh, Pooh, there it goes again.
There what goes?
Eddie, what are you doing here?
I got tired of waiting for you at the arena, sweetheart. It's after 1 o'clock.
Is it already?
You know darn well it is.
Oh, gosh, I'm terribly sorry, Eddie. I wouldn't have kept you waiting for the world. But Mr. Eganspan has to have this agreement before I go out to lunch. And the darn old typewriter's worse today than it's ever been.
I thought you were going to get rid of that typewriter. I thought you were going to turn over a new leaf.
Well, I would have, but Mr. Eganspan turned one over first. He's in an awful mood today.
Well, I'm in an awful mood, too. And if you care more about his feelings than you do about mine, I think it's about time we call it quits.
Eddie, you're being unreasonable.
I ain't being unreasonable. How long do you think we can keep this up?
But, Eddie...
No buts about it. I'm sick and tired of playing second fiddle to a typewriter. Either you straighten this out with him or you straighten it out with me.
You mean you want me to speak to Mr. Eganspan now?
Right this minute. It's about time you got over that phobia of yours. You can't be a mouse all your life.
Well, I know,
take your pick, honey. It's now or not at all.
All right, Eddie. I'll speak to him.
Okay, come on.
Well, only I do
come
think...
Come on.
Are you going with me?
Bar the door. I want to make sure you knock.
I won't have to knock. My knees will do it for me.
Will you stop being such a softy?
Okay, Eddie. Here goes.
Yes, who is it? It's me, Mr. Egan's fan.
Who's me? Open the door.
Yes, sir. Mr. Regenstam, would you mind if I talk to you about...
Oh, some other time, Mousy. I'm busy.
But, you see, I just wanted to talk to you about...
I said some other time, Mousy.
Yes, Mr. Regenstam.
Mousy, you are a Mousy.
Well, I couldn't talk to him then, Eddie. He was... Eddie, where are you going?
Out.
Eddie, come back here.
Not on your life.
Oh, Eddie.
Lucille Ball will be back in a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, sponsored by Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. Now, here's Dick Calmer.
Mr. Bluebird, that lovable little fellow from Walt Disney's movie Song of the South, is now on the new Hallmark. Folks just naturally think of happiness when they see a Bluebird. That's why Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards will bring an extra bit of happiness to your friends and loved ones. You see, when you take the traditional happiness appeal of Bluebirds, add the magic Walt Disney's artistry, and then top it off with a Hallmark sentiment that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it, you have the happiest kind of greetings. Is there someone you should remember today? Whoever it is, wherever they are, send Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards, the happiest kind of greetings for every occasion. You'll find Hallmark Mr. Bluebird cards in America's finest shops and stores. And remember, when you send Hallmark cards, you send the finest, because for more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. That's why discriminating folks look on the back of the cards they send and receive for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, back to Lucille Ball as Mousy.
I got downstairs, Eddie was gone. I called up his hotel room, but there wasn't any answer, so I went over to the arena to find out if any of the boys knew where he was. They were all pretty busy moving the circus into town. They didn't have much time for just telling...
Lay out, lady. We're loading through this door.
Oh, well, I won't be in the way.
Anybody's in the way when there's elephants around. The whole menagerie comes through
here. All right, so I won't...
Get moving, you guys. Got to keep these doors clear.
You haven't seen Eddie Grove around, have you?
No, not for about an hour or so.
I wonder where he could have gone. He's not in his hotel.
Did you look in the lunchroom down the street? Eats in there once in a while.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll go look.
Watch it, lady. Don't get run over.
Well, the way I feel right now, I don't care. I looked in the lunchroom, but he wasn't there. I don't know why, but I had a feeling he'd show up sooner or later, so I sat down at the counter and waited.
What'll you have, ma'am?
To eat?
Well, I don't rent canoes.
Well, I don't feel like eating.
How do you know? You haven't tried it.
Are you trying to be funny?
No, ma'am. I'm just protecting my own interests. We usually reserve these seats for people who order something. Of course, if you're just parking here, I can give you an hourly rate.
So, I'll take a cup of coffee.
With or without toast?
Well, just give me some of those macaroons.
Coming up.
Hey, you haven't seen Eddie Grove around, have you?
No, ma'am, not since this morning. Anything wrong?
Yes, everything. He's gone right out of my life.
Well, stick around a while. Maybe you'll come back in. You are, lady. Coffee and macaroons. I beg your pardon?
I didn't say anything.
Well, somebody did.
Maybe you got a customer with indigestion.
Hey, cigarette! Shut him out of here!
What's going on down there?
Oh, quick! Somebody call the police!
What's the matter? Are we being robbed?
Rob my eye! It's a lion!
Don't be silly!
It's a lion, I tell you!
Jeepers, it is a lion.
Hey,
no, don't stand there like a dope. Do something.
What can I do?
Throw something, madam. Get him with a chair.
He's coming this way.
Quick, get up on the counter.
I can't move.
You've got to move. He's coming right over to you. No, get back.
Yeah, get back. Get back. Go home. Go home.
Don't make a sound. Maybe you think you're dead.
Maybe I will be.
What's he doing now?
He's eating a macaroon out of my...
Give him another one.
Here, Fido. He's hungry.
That's what I'm afraid of.
He's afraid, too.
Stand back. I'll throw something at him.
No, you'll hurt him.
Are you crazy?
No, he won't harm anybody. He's just frightened. Aren't you, Fido?
For the love of Mike, what are you doing?
I'm scratching him behind the ear. He likes it.
Down.
Hey, don't hurt him.
Get away from there, you fool. Come on now, Caesar. Crawl. Crawl, I said. All right, I'll have him out of here in a moment.
Well, don't push him. He won't harm nobody.
He won't, eh? Hey, this boy is a killer.
A what?
A killer.
Picture for the Gazette, Miss Laverne.
And one for the report.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Miss Laverne, have you had any experience handling animals before?
Just wolves.
Were you terrified when the lion walked in here?
Well, I was too scared to be terrified, to tell you the truth.
But you had him eating out of your hand. Was that your idea or his?
Well, I don't remember.
But did you actually scratch him behind the ear?
Mm-hmm.
How many macaroons did he eat?
I don't know.
Well, why didn't you run away?
Please, I got to get back to the office. What time is it?
3:10.
Oh, my goodness, I'll never be able to face the boss.
Well, it's about time you got here, Mousie. Where have you been?
Just out looking for Eddie.
You smell as if you've been at the circus.
Well, I was in a way.
Come on, get to work. There's a whole pile of stuff waiting for you.
Yes, Mr. Regan.
Now, I want you to get these depositions out first, then you can start on the agreement.
Yes, Mr. Regan.
And let me know the minute you're finished.
Yes, Mr. Regan's fan. Deposition, Ray Simpson versus McCormick. Oh, brother, here I go again. At that darned old typewriter yet if it hadn't been for Caesar. The keys kept jamming just as they always had. Bell kept egging me on to speak to Mr. Regan's fan, but when I got to his office, that old mousy feeling came right back to me. Only this time, I noticed a bit of tawny fur that Caesar had left on my knee, and right away my blood began to boil. I don't know if it was the lion in me or the mouse. But before I knew it, I'd thrown open Mr. Regan's fan's door, and I was scowling at him just as hard as he was scowling at me.
Yes? Have you finished those depositions, Mousie?
No. And I'm not going to finish them. Not on that typewriter.
I beg your pardon.
You what, Mr. Regan's fan? For 10 months now, I've been a slave to a typewriter that was built when Benjamin Franklin was a boy. So old, it's moss growing out of it.
Now, look here, Mousie.
My name is anymore, Iggy.
Why, I never heard of such a thing.
You haven't heard anything yet. Do you realize that I put up with that typewriter till I've lost my speed, my boyfriend, and my self-respect? Do you realize that I've quaked in my boots every time you come out of this office and let out one of your lion-like roars? Do you realize that I'm not going to stand for it any longer?
Miss Laverne!
I've tamed one lion today already, but that was nothing compared to this. I don't care if you fire me or not, but I'll tell you one thing. If you keep me, you're going to buy me a new typewriter today.
What did you say?
I said I want a new typewriter. What's the matter, Mr. Egan Stan? Are you ill?
No, but I'm kind of tired. And discouraged. That's been a heck of a day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. You were just the last straw.
I was. Well, look, Mr. Eganspan, there really isn't anything to be worried about. About life, I mean.
Isn't there?
Not if you're not afraid.
Yes, I suppose that's right, in a way. It certainly is right. By George, that's the first good word I've heard today, Mousie. Oh, excuse me, I forgot. You don't like that name.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Eganspan. I don't mind it now. Hello.
Hello, honey. This is me, Eddie.
Well, where have you been, Eddie?
Walking up and down the streets thinking about you. I just heard about what happened. Honey, are you all right?
No, sure, I'm fine.
Tell me, how'd you ever do it?
Well, I just told him what was on my mind, and he took it beautifully.
Yeah, but you had him eating right out of your hand.
Well, that's the only way to handle him.
Well, didn't he go for you or anything?
Who, Mr. Eganspan?
Eganspan? I'm talking about the lion.
Oh, well, you don't know about the typewriter, then.
What typewriter?
Mr. Eganspan's getting me a new one. And if you'll only come back to me, Eddie, everything will be just perfect.
Oh, I'll be right over, honey. Oh, only tell me, how did you manage to get a typewriter out of old man Eganspan?
I just scratched him behind the ear.
Lucille Ball, that was a delightful performance.
Remember, when you want to greet a friend, send a Hallmark card. For whatever the occasion, a Hallmark card will say what you want to say the way you want to say it. So always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the words sterling on silver, those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's program sponsored by Hallmark greeting cards. At that time, you will hear a captivating and thoroughly delightful story of a little girl who wanted the moon and the wise man who found it for her. Our star will be one of Hollywood's truly great actors, that fine dramatic performer, Claude Rains. By arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of High Barbary, starring Van Johnson and June Allison. This ball was supported by Larry Haynes in the role of Eddie and Howard Smith in the role of Mr. Eganspan. The Lion and the Mousie was dramatized by Robert Sloan from the story They Called Her Mousie, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller.
Folks, here's an important announcement about the new Civilian Naval Reserve. Its membership is open to volunteer civilians, both veterans and non-veterans. There are fine opportunities for learning a trade, for social and recreational contacts. And this is very important. These activities need not interfere with your civilian life. So enroll now in the Civilian Reserve of the finest Navy in the world.
To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look in the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and for your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll find a wide selection of Hallmark cards at America's finest shops and stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Everlasting Justice.